Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. And we'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they were sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, Hamish, do you want to share?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Steve. Pleasure to be here this morning at another AA meeting. It's been 16 years since I last took alcohol, almost to the day. It was about 2 weeks ago that I had my AA birthday. As we call it an AA, we have our AA birthday and our belly button birthday, but my AA birthday is probably more important in a lot of ways. But a little bit about my story. I guess it did start with my real birthday in 1961, and I was born into a religious family down in the South Island, and an alcoholic and aggressively alcoholic father and religiously codependent mother, and we have at that stage two brothers, and went on to have quite a large family. And as I grew up, I felt like I didn't quite belong, to be honest. I guess I felt like I had arrived in this planet and I just didn't fit in, and all the attempts of my friends, not so much my friends, but my peers, parents, teachers, clergy, try and shape me and mould me into what they wanted, I just wasn't ever going to cooperate, and I took things very literally. I was oversensitive, and in the end I used to close off into my own world very much, and that sense of out of alignment and that sense of not belonging and feeling that I wasn't part of the human race only really felt right for me when I was about 13 and I took my first drink. The first time I drank, I got drunk and I found I had an ability to sort of come out and play, if you will. It just seemed to make me feel normal. And so I think looking back now, I'd have to say that it's more normal for me to be drunk than it is for me to face life on life's terms and to accept things the way they are. My drinking career sort of did to me eventually what it did to everybody. Through my teenage years, I lost many of my friends. As we're talking about this morning, drinking and driving was quite normal in those days, and I lost several of my friends during my teens to car accidents, a couple of suicides, but I was very lucky. I'd had three serious car accidents and some very violent escapades in my teens, so I was very, very lucky to survive. But by the time I was 23, I just couldn't work out what was wrong with me, and the best thing I could come up with was that I just must be a bad person. And excuse me, as a result, what do bad people do? Well, they go to church and ask God to forgive them. So that's all I knew how to do. So I went to church at age 23 and asked God to forgive me. And I did have a spiritual experience, there's no question. And I was able to stop drinking for some years. Got married and had four beautiful kids while I was in the church. But all those years of not drinking and not treating my alcoholism, I didn't realise I was alcoholic. And I slowly went mad. I slowly went just basically insane. I couldn't process thoughts properly. I was very aggressive, very frustrated, very out of alignment, unhappy, irritable. And as a result, my wife eventually, she had made other plans with another bloke in the church. And I didn't cope with that at all. And within a very short time, I was back to my violent and aggressive behaviour and drunk. And that drinking took me many, many years. It took me from age probably 35 until age 42 to get into the program. And when I fell into the doors of AA, I was absolutely out. I was in a dead loss. I had no clue what was wrong with me. All I knew was that I shouldn't drink anymore. And AA were able to show me that, look, you're not actually a bad bloke. You've got a problem in you that's in a whole lot of people. And what we're going to do here is we're going to remove the alcohol, and then we're going to work out what makes Hamish tick. What's been going on for you? We're going to unpeel the layers of the onion and get back to the core of who you are. And we're going to give you a set of spiritual principles to live your life by so that you don't get like that anymore. And should you start to have that crazy thinking, which often ends in a drink, we'll give you a set of processes that can help you. You can get to a meeting. You can get on the phone and talk to another person. If you can't do those, there's some prayers that you can pray, sometimes specific ones. And if you do these things, you'll have enough relief already so that you won't need the relief from alcohol just to be able to stay in your own skin, as it were. And it's been, as I say, almost 16 years now. And slowly but surely, I lost most of my physical assets. I had a lot of businesses and property and things like that when I came into the program. But my priorities changed. And so I've gone from somebody who was materialistically driven to someone who's changed the priority. My number one priority now is to stay sober. Excuse me. And then my number one priority in staying sober is to live a life on spiritual terms. It's a different deal now. I don't get to roll the way I used to. I've had my go. I've had my turn, and it didn't work out that well. So now I'm living a life on a different terms, on a different basis. And now my life, I've got to think about others. I've got to become conscious and aware. And I know in this program it talks about in step 12 having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. It's not a really big woo-woo out there halo experience. All a spiritual awakening is a change in awareness, a change in consciousness, an understanding of how my behaviour affects others, an understanding of where I fit in the world. And I guess it's a reduction in ego is what it is. And most of a spiritual awakening, very sadly, doesn't feel very spiritual at all. It didn't feel very spiritual having to go to all these people I'd harmed and say sorry. It didn't feel very spiritual having to apologise to people and to put things right. It didn't feel very spiritual being gracious to people who are being rude to me. But these are the things that are part of the process of staying sober. And people tell me now, I, again, I'm not particularly successful in the world's eyes, or as perhaps as successful as I was in the world's eyes, but people tell me now that I'm a better person. My children and grandchildren tell me I'm a better person to be around. And to be honest, in my heart and in my soul, I really feel that I am at last, after 16 years of being in this program, able to be the person I always wanted to be. And I'll probably never be quite right, but I have the tools in my toolkit and the ability now to live in my own skin and to get things right. And that to me is a total change of attitude. I came in here with one view of what I thought I should be in the world, and I've arrived with a totally different view. So that's pretty much my story, Steve, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share that with you this morning.
Thanks, Hamish. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. This morning we had members of our fellowship in, and we're sharing our experience, strength and hope about our journeys of recovery from alcoholism. And to continue on with the sharing, Lisa, do you want to share?
Yes, thanks, Steve. My name's Lisa. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Lisa.
Thank you. I used to listen to the Sunday stories when I was a child, and I never thought for a moment that I'd be sat in front of a microphone telling my story of recovery from alcoholism. So I thought I had a happy childhood, and but was always trying to be perfect, and I always had a sort of under sort of current of feeling not quite right in the world, or an anxiousness or a nervousness. And my first
apart from having Cointreau ice cream when I was 11, my first real experience of alcohol was at age 15 when I had a bottle of port. And I really, I just loved the effect of, it removed me from myself, it took away my nervousness, and it had me feel like I fitted in, because I always thought that other people had some kind of magic understanding of how to be in the world. I never quite knew how to be, and I would always try to copy other people, put alcohol in my system, and I could be whatever you wanted me to be. So my drinking at the beginning, you know, it followed me everywhere. I won't say I drank to excess in those early years of drinking, but it was always around. There was always Lisa and alcohol, and there was nothing more painful for me than watching someone sip a glass, you know, sip and then leave half a glass of alcohol. Like, who does that? So it became more and more progressive for me that I needed more and more alcohol to feed my habit. Now, if I just have, I've got a physical allergy to alcohol. I react differently to it. And if my problem was only a physical problem, I could get some medication to treat that allergy. I've also got a mental way with this disease of alcoholism, and that is I've got a head that won't leave things alone. I get resentments. I play out conversations in my head before I've ever had them. And I've just got, just a head that won't be quiet. So if I just had that problem, I could go to a therapist or I could get some medication from the doctor. But I've got also a spiritual sickness, and I've heard alcoholism described as a spiritual tapeworm. And I thought, oh, yes, I've got something in my system that needs spiritual cure. So the physical, mental, and spiritual aspects is actually describes alcoholism, and I have that disease. It took a lot of years, like over 3 decades of drinking, before I decided I'd had enough. That's not to say that it didn't cause problems and I lost relationships. I stole time from my family. I stole peace of mind from my family. I would not turn up to work because I had a hangover. You know, all sorts of behaviours. I would drive drunk, and all behaving in a way that I would have was not very nice, you know. And again, like the previous speaker, I had myself be a bad person. But part of me really wanted to live, and I'm quite strong-willed, and I thought I could control my drinking with willpower. Now, the funny thing about this is no amount of willpower could stop me. Like, I could do it for a short period of time, and there'd be a lot of people around me at that time would say, you're better off drinking, actually, because at least when you go into blackout or you pass out, you know, you're no longer a problem. So when I finally came into the rooms of AA, I could hear hope, I could hear laughter, I could hear people that when they looked normal, you know, they weren't wearing raincoats and had brown paper bags, they were just normal people who were getting on with their lives. And they described their inside feelings and why they used alcohol to shut those feelings down. And that's when I knew I belonged, you know, and I actually wanted what they had. And they said to me, keep coming back, it will get better. And I really needed that hope because I was at the place of, although I had a lot to live for, I was considering suicide as an option. And, you know, suicide is a very permanent fix for a short-term problem. And I actually wanted to live, but I didn't know how. So the people in AA told me, just keep coming back. And, you know, when I was still physically and mentally quite weak, I didn't have a lot of fight in me. But when I physically got stronger, that's when my ego reared up. And I started to challenge and fight and get really angry. My problem is not alcohol. That was my solution. My problem is life. And so I needed to learn, how do you do life? Like, I can be well behaved in an AA meeting for an hour, usually. It's the other 23 hours of the day that I really struggle. And, you know, if you think that, you know, I started drinking probably at 15, that means that my emotional development probably arrested around about that time. So as a 15-year-old in a grown-up's body, I had no clue. Like, I didn't know how to deal with emotions. How do you deal with conflict? All of those things, they were just like another world for me. So fortunately, I've been able to stay close. It's fellowship, it's connection, it's letting God into my life is what I've found to be the solution for me. That's the antidote. That is the medicine that's given me the ability to be able to learn how to do life. What my disease of alcoholism wants to do is to get me by myself drinking. It doesn't want me to pick up the phone to talk to other people and to listen to advice. I travel for my job, you know, so I really respect the other way to get the AA message can be through radio, through video, you know, speaker tapes, and picking up the phone. I can't always get to a meeting, so I have a real appreciation that it is possible to get sobriety through other ways. And my ego also wants to get pretty clever and think, yeah, I've got this. So I need to keep mixing it up, and I hope to always remain teachable, because if I had the disease of diabetes and I needed to take daily medication, if there's no point me taking 7 tablets on Sunday and thinking that's enough to treat me for the week. I need to take my medicine every single day, and my medicine is actually getting around alcoholics, because you're my people. You know, I need to hear from you. I need to hear other people's messages and to remind me where I've come from. Today I have loving relationships. I've built trust back up with my family. I've made amends to people that I've hurt, you know, people I love the most. I'm an employee today. I hope to be of service, and they seem to trust me with things that if they knew my history, well, anyway. I'm very, very grateful to be here, and this is a program of action. This isn't a program of thinking. You know, I can't get into thinking because I do way too much of that. Getting into action and actually doing things in spite of myself is the way that I've found relief. So that's the message that I'd like to share. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. This morning we have our members of our fellowship in, and we're sharing our experience, strength and hope about our journeys of recovery from alcoholism. The next person to share this morning is Shane. Do you want to share?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I'm Shane. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Shane.
I came in here, when I say here, into AA, completely broken, and the manifestation of my condition, so to speak, which at the time I thought was unique or different. You know, I had this set of problems that you, my parents, no one really understood, and I didn't feel like I belonged. I didn't feel like I fitted in. I didn't really understand what was going on, because no amount of material success or social capital or relationships, friendships, nothing would really satisfy that need to connect or to feel okay. So it wasn't just alcohol, it was anything I could get my hands on to make myself feel better. So I came into the rooms and I met people that shared, that I could identify with, and people that my story was in their story, and I realized I wasn't unique or different. I was suffering from a condition that millions of people have suffered from since day dot, and that was, I can't make myself feel okay. And, you know, as I've gone on in the rooms and explored spirituality, and this journey's taken me, you know, all over the world, and it's taken me to meet people that I would never have crossed paths with if I hadn't have gone down this road. And I feel so blessed and grateful for that, because I feel it's made me just a much more integrated person in terms of my whole self, including my shadow, which, people listening may not. I'll just sort of flesh that out a little bit. So we all have a shadow, and when we meet someone, we go on a first date with someone, or we go for a job interview, and we like to portray the best part of ourselves, but lurking within is the shadow. And if I can't show my shadow to someone, it means you and I are not going to probably be firm friends, because it's that fair looking within that if that person doesn't understand the whole of you and understand how you can be in your bad days, your bad moments, there's not going to be a real frank and honest exchange of love and connection. And that, that's ultimately, I think, what we're all looking for. Coming into the rooms for the first, so I've been about 3.5 years sober, and the first 2 years was literally just hanging on. So people talk about this spiritual awakening. I used to hear always people sharing about God and their higher power, and for the first few years I would think, what the hell is this turkey on about? Like, I haven't had this awakening. And I actually read something after a few years in one of the bits of literature that gets bandied about in the fellowship, saying, you're questioning whether you've had a spiritual awakening. Just take a look at yourself and how you're acting now compared to how you used to act. So before you get all clever and try and think there's sort of, going to be a halo over your head, maybe think that those terms can be just used to define a complete change in your whole the whole way you operate, because you may not see it, but you can be pretty certain that those people close to you will have seen it. So that's not, I think, an overnight thing, and I think it's just a progression. And so, for example, after a couple of years in AA, I remember bumping into this friend of mine in the supermarket in the fellowship, and she said, "How are you? I haven't seen you for a while." And I said, "Oh, to be honest, I've fallen out of love with AA. I haven't been going to meetings. I haven't been feeling good. I've been looking elsewhere." And she said to me, "Well, look, AA is not a self-help program or a self-improvement program. It's a program to keep you alive and get the alcohol out of you. And if you want to look into other things, I suggest you do that, because not necessarily at the expense or in exchange for AA, but if you want to go out there and further yourself, there's nothing wrong with that." And I was actually struggling with a gambling problem at the time. And so while I wasn't drinking or using drugs, I was gambling. I was smoking way too much for my, compared to what I wanted to a pack a day. And I didn't feel good, but I was too proud to go and drink or use. So I went and tried a rehab over in Thailand, which was absolutely the best thing I ever did. And I used to be a very fearful flyer, so I had to overcome that fear. I got to this place and I got a month out of my life to go and completely be me with no perceived pressure from parents or peers or colleagues or anyone that I had to be a certain way. And I just got to work on myself, and I got to do some cognitive behavioral therapy, and I got to mix with other people, that counsellors that had been in the fellowship. And the best thing I learned over there was that AA was the source of how I got on this path in the first place. And the main reason I didn't want to go to meetings is because I selfishly had taken what I had out of the program, and I didn't want to go and sit in a room with people that are in a position I was in a little over 2 years ago at the time and give back. So once I stopped looking at it like I needed to get something out of it and I need to be on this constant search for improvement and to have more material things and more status and stature, that was a turning point, because I realized that I read something the other day that said, if you want to get courage, you need to encourage, and you need to share if you want to have. And that's my journey in the last year and a half since then, has been that I don't feel good unless I'm going out there and helping other people to get what I feel I've been given and I didn't deserve at the time. So I don't today see life the way I did when I first came into the rooms. I don't get the same pleasure out of material things or status, and I don't have the same fear of judgment if I don't think I'm going well enough in that realm. But I think it's important to do away with the notion that those things in and of themselves are bad, or we shouldn't have those things. And I think if we work hard, we're able to have nice things. The difference is that we now, because we've been to the edge and looked over, so to speak, we're able to realise that we're not entitled to those things. We get nice things if we work hard, and it's a nice byproduct of the good things we've been doing, but they cease to become the focal point, which is kind of ironic, because when they are the focal point, it seems we're either not getting them, or when we get them, we don't respect those things. My life today is pretty phenomenal. I know people used to share and say that, particularly old timers in AA, and I used to sit there and just think, oh God, I just don't need to hear this because I'm not feeling any of this. And they'd talk about the joy they had from helping others, and they would talk about the release they would get from working with their sponsor, and they would talk about all the stuff. And I used to sit there through gritted teeth and just think, oh God, either this person is just a real blowhard, or I don't get this and I'm not going to stick around in this program, because I don't seek to be that sort of person. And I think that was one, I was 33 years old when I came into the rooms, and so that's a long, long time if you're not wired up properly to unravel and for things to manifest in your life, which really, have made you worse and worse and worse. Because when you go down, or you go in a destructive or negative direction, the inertia that gets behind that from one bad decision leads to another. For example, you think, I'm just going to have one drink today. You have one drink, you're trying to give up smoking. You go, I need a cigarette now that I've had a beer. You have a few cigarettes. Then three or four drinks later, you might think, oh, I need some drugs, or I need to bet on a horse, or I need to do this or do that. And the spiraling or the aggregation of all that bad behaviour, if you think about it over a long, long time, leads you to a very dark place, and that's exactly where I got to. But if you flip that round and you slowly, when you come in to the rooms and you start to meet people and you start to talk about all the positive things that can happen, and you apply yourself to the program and you listen to people other than yourself, even if it doesn't feel right or natural at the time, my experience has been that the aggregation of all those good things, even though they might not feel pleasurable at the time, all weigh up. So slowly over time, even though you may not see it or feel it, slowly over time your life gets incrementally better, so that you don't even end up feeling like you know your old self. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Shane. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and we've had members of our fellowship in this morning, and we've been sharing our experience, strength and hope about our journeys of recovery from alcoholism. Now, if you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, a couple of things you can do. You can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. Here in Auckland, we have about 140 meetings a week. The other thing you can do is phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. The 0800 number works up and down the country. We'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air, and we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.